And that is the music of Acousta Who on Spectrum West. And we are privileged to have three of the four members of Acousta Who with us in the studio today. Welcome to Sue Orfield. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Al.
See, we have to say hi so that we can tell who's who.
I'm Sue. I'm the girl voice in the room.
Yes, you are. We also have Olaf Lind.
Hello. I'm not the girl voice.
You're not the girl voice.
I suppose I could be.
And another non-girl voice is Luke Fisher.
Hi. How's it going today?
Good. Well, thanks for coming. I appreciate it. Now, I don't know whether you guys designed it that way or not, but the title of your band is a question. Is that supposed
exactly.
to be that way?
Well, yeah. It kind of started out as me knowing that I wanted to play in this acoustic situation and not knowing exactly who was going to be with me. So the true story is actually that I booked a gig at Obsession Chocolates without a band.
Ah.
I just went ahead and booked the gig, and then I made up the name, and I still didn't have band members, and so I was like, who's going to be in this?
It's the best way to start a band.
Exactly. And who am I going to call, and what am I going to do? And anyway, so the word who was stuck in my brain.
Yeah.
And acoustic, and it came up with Acousta Who, and I got some flack for it from the guys in the band, but it appears to have stuck, so that's how the name began.
So yeah, it's grown on you guys?
Yeah. Well, it's nice to refer to us as the Who.
Oh, wow. The Who, too.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I know Sue does, obviously, but is this just one of several ways that you guys make music?
Oh, yeah. I'm involved in multiple different bands, a few duos and a couple other full-on bands, from funk to folk to country to jazzy-styled stuff and even harder rock-style stuff, too.
Olaf, how about you?
Yeah, I play in a sort of roots folk with a little tinge of Kentucky gospel group called Eggplant Heroes. That's a whole bunch of folks from the university, myself and a couple other people. And I also teach privately at the Eau Claire Music School over on Ohm Avenue here in Eau Claire. Violin, viola, teach mostly classical music. My early background was in classical music, so I still play quartets, trios. I do an awful lot of sitting in with other people. So right now, solidly in two bands, and Luke and I play in a duo together every once in a while, and then sitting in here and there and doing a classical thing as well.
And you're both listed as playing the mandolin as well.
I do on stage most of the mandolin playing. One of the songs on the album, I ended up singing and playing guitar, so I figured someone else should be outside of their comfort zone as well. So I handed my mandolin to Luke, and he did a phenomenal job on that track, and I'm really, really happy with the way that turned out.
It works well for recreating it live, too.
Does it?
Because, then we're already prepared. We already have our instrumentation down. So it's not like, Olaf is double tracking and then he has to quick loop something, or we have to pretend the mandolin part is there.
Yeah. I had Jesse Cobb on the show last week, and he's a pretty well-known mandolin player.
Yeah, wow.
And I asked him about the similarity of playing the violin and the mandolin because they're tuned the same. Does a fiddle player find that a mandolin's a natural form?
I did, at least. I started playing violin when I was four, and I started playing mandolin when I was about 14 or 15 years old. And I sort of gravitated toward it because I wanted something that I could do more rhythmically, sort of chordal. Based things. And like you said, the strings are the same. Getting used to the frets is a little bit interesting because on a violin or viola, your fingers have to fall exactly in tune.
Mm-hmm.
And on a fretted instrument, you're falling sort of just shy of in tune.
In a space. In a space.
Yeah. It was a fairly fast instrument to pick up and feel like I could make it sound good. I've spent some time after that really making it sound good.
Mm.
It is a very different instrument. Anytime you pick up a different instrument, there's things to learn about it.
So now let's go back to the history of the band, because you, should I call it a band? Or is it a group? Is it a aggregation?
All of the combo?
What is it?
Sure, I don't know.
People don't say combo.
The Acousta Who combo. Let's go with that. That's
when
great.
I was a young guy, combo was huge. It's like that turntable back there. We used to use those a lot. Now we don't. So now, it's not like you needed more groups to play in or combos to play in.
That's true. I just really have been listening to music with acoustic instruments, folk music, mm-hmm. bluegrass music, and there's not a lot of saxophone in those, most of them. In fact, yeah. hardly any of them. But I'm really drawn to that sound. And so even though I play in 20,000, you know, give or take,
yes,
combos,
you do, yes.
I don't have anything like this. And I'm super, super glad that I'm now we have this little group and playing out and doing concerts. It's just been fantastic.
Yeah. What does it do for acoustic guys to have a sax in the group?
A lot of amplification.
Great solo instrument that a lot of acoustic groups have but don't stand out.
Right. Sue's a powerhouse. So, I mean, yeah. just her musical presence and ability, she can bring us all up to a new level of musicianship, which uh-huh. is really helpful.
We're talking with Luke Fisher, Olaf Lind, Sue Orfield. They are three of the four members of Acoustahoo. Randy Sins plays the upright bass. He's not here because we don't have room for four in the studio. We're already packed. We know each other intimately already, folks. What do you guys play? Is it all original stuff?
We do a mix, really. I would say that our live shows right now are about 50-50. I think we all hope to bring the balance closer to more original music and less covers. But our covers right now are somewhat obscure.
Give me an example of an obscure cover. That
we play things like traditional klezmer tunes. There's one in our album called okay. Us Du First Avec. And we do stuff like that all the way to Sweet Georgia Brown, My Heart Belongs to Daddy. We play some stuff that was written by Donovan. So it's really quite literally all over the map.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm guessing that since you guys are all accomplished, there is probably a fair amount of improv going on while you're playing?
Definitely.
A fair amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes more than others.
We build in improvising in pretty much not all songs. There's a couple that we do that we really play straight, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of improvising within each song, I would say.
And we really do try to put our own stamp on things that, you know, that aren't ours. I mean, when you put a saxophone and a violin together in a group and have those be the sort of melodic instruments, there's not a lot of people doing that. We work together to try to make sure that we're voiced well and then that the concept of the piece is solidly within what that piece of music is, but also that it has our own sort of unique feel and stamp to it.
Now, we're here specifically to talk about CD release parties.
Going to be a party.
No question.
Is this your first effort at recording, or have you done that in the past as a group? Combo.
First is a combo.
We've all recorded, of course, in other projects before.
Sure.
But this is the first, freshman release of Acoustahoo. In fact, it's just self-titled. We decided to go with that.
Yeah. Is that because it gets to a point where you say, all right, we're there now. We can record.
Just that, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, we have a number of original tunes, and the nice thing is that we've all written tunes on the album, okay. So it's not just there's one chief songwriter. And the other part of it is, as a working musician, having an album is very helpful in getting into new venues and getting your name out there.
Having quality tracks that you can send to booking agents and venues is important.
It gives you validity.
There are some great places to play around here, but we do sort of want to expand and keep moving forward or moving around and, you know, making our audience larger and meeting more people and hopefully having them enjoy what we do.
What's it like when each member has 25% of the input in putting together a CD? How do you figure out what's going to be on it and then what order is
it going to
be?
It's taken me a long time to get rid of the bruises from the fights.
You're healing well.
Yeah.
I told you to stop it, Luke.
We're actually pretty democratic, and it works out well. I don't think we really had two. We had a little bit of discussion about what was going to go on there, but we kind of knew these would be good ones to try to do. And all of us felt strongly that each one of us should be represented in the songwriting department. So there wasn't a lot of fighting, I don't think. We kind of agreed.
Right. Well, the other interesting thing in our group dynamic is that I know Sue and Randy and myself have all led other bands before and been the chief decision makers. And Olaf certainly has been a chief part of decision making in numerous other bands as well. So to be able to get away from having that total responsibility and being able to share that is really refreshing.
Well, let's talk about the events. Give us the dates and what's going on.
Friday, April 19th, we're going to be having our CD release party in Eau Claire at the Stone's Throw. We wanted to do something a little bit more than just going on stage and playing. So we're going to set up an art gallery on location. We've got four really great local artists in Steve Bateman, Brianna Capra, Dana Sterzinger, and Brian Durkop. We've got another couple of musicians that are going to be there as well. We've got Paul Lawrence and Lizzie Diane, who's a local songwriter and does some pretty interesting stuff. So we wanted to sort of create an event that would take on a life of its own and be sort of big in the moment. Just be something cool to do.
The whole thing is going to start at 6 o'clock on Friday the 19th.
That's refreshing.
Yes,
starts
it is.
Early, yeah.
Thank you very much, Al. You and I are in the same boat on that
oh, yeah.
one. Home and in bed by 11
there
o'clock.
There you go. That's important for me.
Anyway, it starts at 6 o'clock, and the music is going to start at 7, and it is going to be really super fun. And then we have another CD release party that we're doing in conjunction with a benefit for an organization called It Can Be Done Africa. Jean Kowalski, her business is called Colors of Joy. She is trying to raise some money to get down to Tanzania with this organization. We thought, well, let's just kind of do them together. So there is going to be a cover for that one, but it should be really fun. It's going to be down in Alma mm-hmm. for the folks that are on the big river down there at a place called Danzinger Vineyards and Winery. And wow. that also starts at 6 o'clock on April 26th.
And I believe there's a silent art auction involved in that one
yeah.
as well. So we've somehow managed to have a connection with the visual art world, which is great.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and so after that one, how will the CD be available?
We're going to have it on CD Baby, on iTunes. Okay. It'll be available on our website, which is acoustahoo.com. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we'll be selling them at our live shows.
The members of Acoustahoo: Luke Fisher plays acoustic guitar, vocals, and mandolin. Olaf Lind, fiddle, mandolin, and vocals. Sue Orfield, who is really out to prove that the saxophone is like a white scarf. It goes with everything. And Randy Sins, we miss you, buddy. He's the upright bass player. So good luck with everything, and congratulations on the CD. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks
for having
us.